Let me just give you a very short summary of what we're trying to do here in Congress this week. We're obviously trying to get agreement with the administration on a package of provisions we could pass that would provide some assistance to the auto industry, the three major auto manufacturers in the country, and keep them in business and hopefully put them on a path toward becoming prosperous in the future. So that's the effort. Whether or not we succeed, we'll find out later in the week. I think the final details have been a little hard to bring together and to bring everyone together to support, but I still hope we can get that done and get it done this week. So let me stop with that and just go through any questions you've got on that or anything else. Craig, why don't you start?
Sure. Senator, what's the most important prerequisite for you to hand over some money to the car dealers?
Well, I think the most important prerequisite is credible assurance that they are willing to take the necessary steps to become solvent, become viable as a auto manufacturer from now on. I do think they've come forward with plans indicating that they think that can be done. Obviously, it gets into a discussion about the details of those plans as to whether or not you think they're adequate. But I think that we're trying to get assurance that the money that we are lending, and these are not grants of money, these are loans, that the money will be repaid.
Do you think that viability also should include some demand that the car dealers go back, the automobile companies go back and rework negotiations with their unions?
Well, I think the unions themselves have said they're willing to sit around a table with the management and with creditors and with dealers and with everybody else and agree to some changes. If those changes are necessary to ensure the viability of these companies going forward, they don't think that they should be required to change their contracts and lower their wages while everybody else continues to operate as normal. And I think that's a reasonable position for the unions to take.
You do agree with them that they shouldn't have to make those changes?
Well, I agree with them that if they're going to make changes, then there ought to be some changes in compensation for executives in the companies. There ought to be some reworking of the arrangements that they've got with dealers around the country. There ought to be reworking of some of the agreements, perhaps, with creditors.
Thanks, Senator.
Uh-huh. Elaine, are you there?
Yes, good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
Thank you. I'll follow up. There's been a lot of discussion of the way that the financial industry bailout was treated, $700 billion, you know, the first payouts of which are, at least from reports I've been hearing, you know, untracked. It's unclear where the money is going, how it's being spent, how it's being monitored. So given the attention that's being paid to this auto industry bailout, how do you see the difference in the way these two industries are being treated? Is this an anti-union motivated attempt to break contracts with auto workers unions?
Well, I don't know what the motivations are. Obviously, it's hard to judge motivations. I do think that you can make an argument that getting our financial system to where it is functioning properly benefits the entire economy. And therefore, that needs to be the top priority. And, of course, the funds that Congress earlier approved, the $700 billion fund, was intended to help with the getting the financial system properly functioning. Now, I don't think that in all cases they have put the necessary conditions on the loans providing of funds that they've done through that program. But I do think that's in a separate category somewhat from the auto industry. The auto industry is extremely important to our economy. And we need to keep an auto industry viable in this country, and I plan to support efforts to do that. But it does not touch every sector of the economy the way the entire financial system does. So I do think treatment of those two in different ways can be somewhat justified.
What about the complaints by the auto industry executives that part of the reason that their companies are having so much trouble is because Americans are not able to get credit from the banking industries that were given bailouts in order for them to begin giving out credit?
Well, I think there's some real validity to those complaints. And I do think we need to be putting more pressure on the financial institutions to make credit available. The financial institutions that have been given support by taxpayers need to turn around and provide assistance to consumers who have good credit and who wish to borrow.
Thank you, Senator.
Uh-huh. Bill, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, thanks. You got a hearing on renewable energy tomorrow. What's that about, and how big a role will new energy sources play in the Obama economic recovery plan?
Well, the hearing is going to look at what can be done in this upcoming stimulus package, which, of course, the president's economic advisors are putting their ideas together into the stimulus package that they wish to propose to the Congress early next year. We want to see what parts of that relate to our long-term energy needs. What parts can be included that meet the two criteria of creating jobs and economic growth over the next 18 to 20 months, which is the short term, and also help position us for meeting our long-term energy needs in a more effective way. So we'll have one panel that'll talk about that. We'll have another panel that'll talk about the opportunities to stimulate the economy through improvements in our various public lands, our national parks, our monuments, those areas where we've got public resources that have a maintenance backlog in many cases, a substantial maintenance backlog that we could go ahead and step in and fix that and put people to work in doing so.
So out of this hearing may come some ideas for the economic stimulus program?
That's the hope. The hope is that we'll flush out some ideas there that then will wind up informing the folks that are then putting together the proposal that the president is going to submit to the Congress for consideration in early January.
The cost of gasoline has dropped dramatically. It's now between $1 and $2 here in Santa Fe. The New Mexican is editorializing that now may be the time to add a buck to the gasoline tax at the federal level to help pay for some of these new programs, maybe give half a buck to the renewable energy ideas you're developing. What would you feel about adding $1 to the gasoline tax?
Well, frankly, I wouldn't support it. One problem with the gasoline tax, of course, it is regressive in that a lot of folks of fairly modest incomes have to go out and buy gas. And I think it is one of our more regressive ways of raising revenue in that it falls more heavily upon lower and middle income folks than a lot of other taxes do. The other problem with it is, of course, in states like New Mexico, where we have long distances to travel, our state is disadvantaged by increases in the gas tax relative to more urban areas. So I don't think it would make good sense to do this. Obviously, it'd be good to find ways to raise additional revenue to put into renewable energy and some of these other things, and I'll support ways to do that, but I don't think an extra dollar of tax on each gallon of gas is the solution.
Well, what are other ways to raise revenue? How are we going to pay for all this new stuff?
Well, once we get to, I think we're sort of in two periods here. We're in the short term where all the economists are saying don't try to pay for anything. Certainly don't raise taxes. I don't think you could find a single economist who would agree with the suggestion that we ought to jump in and raise taxes at this point on American consumers. So in the short term, we need to go ahead and stimulate economic activity and not be increasing the revenue the government is obtaining from people. In the long term, we need to rewrite our income tax. We need to find what other ways we can get the revenue necessary to meet the obligations that the country's taken on. And I think this administration's got the difficult job of pursuing one policy short term and then a very different policy, pretty much 180-degree change to policy on the long term.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Craig, are you still there?
Yes, Senator, nothing further. I just wanted to say great questions for my colleagues. So okay. They got us covered for today.
Okay, great. Elaine, how about you?
Yeah, I do have another question, Senator. Thank
okay.
you. So New Mexico is facing an approximately $500 million budget shortfall, largely a result of falling oil and gas prices. If this is the time to throw money at alternative energy development, what's the timeline that you see potentially for the state of New Mexico to not be so reliant upon oil and gas revenues for the state budget?
Well, I think that that's a decision which, of course, the governor and the state legislature needs to make. We have had the great good fortune in New Mexico of being able to obtain a lot of the revenue that's needed to provide services to people from the oil and gas sector. And I think, as you point out, as the price of oil and gas have dropped, the amount of revenue coming into the state from that source is now significantly reduced. So I don't know whether the legislature will feel it's got to look other places for additional revenue or if it can scale back expenditures enough to make up that shortfall. That's a decision they're going to have to make there in Santa Fe.
Given President-elect Barack Obama's promise to spend, I believe it's $15 billion a year for the next 10 years on developing alternative energy sources and industries, what kind of an impact do you see that project having on the state of New Mexico?
Well, I hope it has a very significant positive impact. I do think that if we can have a steady commitment over the next 10 years to significant investment in the research and development that's needed for renewable energy, but also the development of projects that will use the technologies that we've already developed, I think New Mexico could benefit very substantially from this investment. A lot of it will depend upon us taking the initiative, those of us in New Mexico taking the initiative to pursue some of these federal funds and to put them to work in our state.
Thank you, Senator.
Uh-huh. Bill, how about you?
That's it for me. Thanks, Senator.
Okay. Thank you all for talking with me.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Bye-bye.